Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702 pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for the opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, and spiritual understanding and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render all your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our teaching on the subject, faith, our way of life. Once again, faith, our way of life. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Once again, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And that word walk in this verse means live. So we can read it like this. For we live by faith, not by sight. And that word sight simply means those things that are perceived by our senses. The things that we can see, smell, taste, hear, and feel. So if we read that scripture another way, we could read it like this. For we live by faith and not by the things that are perceived by our senses. Now, please turn to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Again, Romans, chapter 10, verse number 17. And it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith comes by us hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, please go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6. And it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Amen. So we are instructed to live by faith and not by sight. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, God. That means you can be a believer and not have faith. The scripture says, "But without faith." So that means you can be without it. So if you are without it, you cannot please God. Amen. The scripture says that God rewards those who diligently seek him. Now, the opposite of that verse would be God does not reward those who do not diligently seek him. We need to understand what the word diligently means in this setting. Everybody wants God to reward them or bless them, either financially, family, job, or health-wise. But are you willing to diligently seek him? Now, the word diligent was added to this scripture for a reason, and that was to modify it or to give us detail to the sentence. Let me repeat that. The word diligently was added to this scripture for a reason, and that was to modify it or to give us detail to the sentence. But first of all, I wanted to go and find out what actually does diligently mean. So let me give you the meaning. First, from the New Webster College Dictionary, and diligently means preserving and carefully in work, industrious, done with care, steady effort, painstaking. Then I went to the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, and it means this: to search out, figuratively investigate, to crave, to demand, worship, and seek after carefully. Now, the things of God, and I must inform you, the things of God are not to be played with. Do not be deceived. Now, please go with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Again, Proverbs, chapter 4. The word of God is not to be played with. Proverbs 4, and we're going to read verses 20 through 23. And it says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Amen. So that lets me know that we need to diligently seek after the word of God and keep it close to our hearts. Amen. Now, our last time together, we were looking at the words belief and faith. And we established that although those words are spelled and pronounced differently, their meanings are very similar. But in reality, they are different as the East is to the West. And because of the similarity in their meaning, people believed they could use them interchangeably. Just a different way of saying the same thing. And unfortunately, I was one of them that thought that way. I didn't know the difference. I thought it was the same. I was never taught the difference until I began to study under Apostle Price, who explained the difference between belief and faith in our daily living and showed me in Scripture the difference. Then a light came on and I finally understood the difference. If you do not know and understand the difference between the two, you can think you are operating in faith when in fact you are just believing. Faith is acting on what you believe. If you do not act on what you believe, although what you believe is true, it will not change your circumstances. Do you remember the scenario with the lady that won the raffle sponsored by the newspaper for the underprivileged children? Remember, everything she said was positively true. She believed if she had went down to the newspaper office and showed her proper identification, she would have collected the $1,000. But because she did not act on it in the allotted time given her to collect her winnings, she lost out on the money. If she had only went down to the newspaper office, she would have collected the money. Her going to the newspaper office was the faith part. She got the belief part because she believed it and confessed it to her friends and family. But she didn't do the faith part by going down. Definition: faith is acting on what you believe. If you do not act on it, although what you believe is true, it will not change your circumstances. The woman lost out on her winnings, yet you could not find one thing wrong with her believing. Everything she believed was absolutely true, but it did not do her any good because she failed to mix her belief with faith. Faith is acting on what you believe. Believing sometimes will never change your circumstances, but faith will change your circumstances. Faith is acting on what you believe. Believing is where you start. But if all you do is believe, there will be no life-changing results forthcoming. That is why so many Christians have been destroyed by Satan over the years. They believe God can heal. Yes, most people, if you ask them, can God heal? They would tell you yes. Yet, they are still dying every day. You are not going to get healed because God can heal. You have to find out what it takes to get God's heal or can heal will into God's heal will. Did you get that, or was that a little bit too heavy for you? Let me repeat that. Everybody knows that God can heal, yet they are still dying every day. You are not going to get healed because God can heal. You have to find out what it takes to get God's can heal will into God's heal will heal. Amen. See, you can go into a supermarket starving to death and yell as loud as you can, I believe that if I eat this food inside this supermarket, it will keep me from dying. Now, everything you believe is absolutely true, but you can die right in the center aisle of that supermarket with all that food available for you unless you get the food from the shelves into your body. See, believing is right, but it will not change the circumstances. Believing is where you start. But if that is where you stop, you will get nothing for the believing. I pray that you understand that it's so important that you understand the difference between belief and faith. See, faith requires action. Faith requires action. Turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. The book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33. And it says this, and this is Jesus speaking. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, the scripture tells us to seek. Now, you cannot seek by sitting in your room believing something. Seeking is an overt action, not a thought. To seek, you would have to do something. Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God. Now, it's very interesting because Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God. He never would have said first if there wasn't a second and third and a fourth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But he said seek. It is not just believing the kingdom of God. It is also doing something about the kingdom of God. Jesus says, seek it. Seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Well, if you seek the kingdom of God first, you're going to learn how to get all the other things that are promised to you and that the Gentiles seek. Yes, you're going to understand how to receive those. And you will have to do something in order to get it. Implied action. Not sitting in a room believing the kingdom exists. You have to seek it. You have to diligently seek it. You have to do something, and that something is action. Faith is acting on what you believe. Now, you're there in Matthew. Please go to the 8th chapter, please. Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 5 through 10. And it says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another one, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Now, the key word in those verses is great faith. The key word is great faith. Jesus says great faith. Now, that great faith was activated by them doing something, not by believing something. Even if you have been given authority, you must still have corresponding action. Repeat that. Even if you have been given authority, you must still have corresponding action. Now, I want you to notice that the centurion said he had generals over him, so he knew what it was to have authority. And he has privates under him, so he knew how to exercise authority. He tells one to go, and he goes. He tells another to come, and he comes. That is action, physical movement. Now see, authority has to be exercised. You cannot sit in an office with authority and just think. Well, let me take that back. You can sit in your office with authority and just think, but you will not change the circumstances. You have to do something. You have to do something, write something, say something, send something, a text, an email, before any of your orders will be followed. That is action. It is not just believing in something. You have to act on what you believe. If you have the authority, you have to exercise it, or else the authority you possess will not do you any good. That centurion recognized that with Jesus. He recognizes Jesus was a man of authority. Now, notice what Jesus said when he spoke to the centurion. He said, "I will come and heal him." Jesus says, "I will come." He says, "I will come." "I will come" is action. That is a movement on Jesus' part. Then he said, "I will heal him." "I will heal him." Again, action. Notice what the centurion said to Jesus. He says, "I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word." The centurion recognized that Jesus' word spoken was the same as him coming. Amen. His word, what he said, was the same as Jesus physically coming to the centurion's home. You do not have to come. He says, just speak a word. Let's put a pause on this for a moment. And let's see how scriptures support scriptures. I always told you that scripture supports scripture. Now, the centurion said, just speak a word. Now, we know God is omniscient, he's omnipresent, and he's omnipotent, or omnipotence. That means he has infinite power, he has universal presence, and he has infinite knowledge. So let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's see how scripture supports scripture. The centurion said, only speak a word. Now, who is our example in the Bible? Of course, it's Jesus. All right, so let's go back to Genesis. And let's see here. We're going to begin with Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to read, beginning with verse number 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." Now, let's drop down to verse number 6. It says, "Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters." Go to verse number 9. It says, "Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered." Let's verse number 11. It says, "Then God said," etc., etc., etc. What I wanted to show you was God actually could have just thought these things and it would have it came to pass. But God was showing us an example how we as Christians need to live our lives, because we are told to live by faith, and faith is an action. So God said something. He physically said something. And so when the centurion said, just speak a word, he said something. And so God was showing us, in order for things to happen, we have to take action. Now, let's go to Proverbs 18, please. Scripture supports scripture. Proverbs 18, and let's look at 21. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. "And those who love it will eat its fruit." So, in order for us to have power, we have to speak something. We have to say something. That's action. So that scripture, when the centurion said, told Jesus, "Hey, you have to come, just speak a word. Send the word, and my servant will be healed." And so scriptures support scripture. So God was showing us an example that we, in order for us to receive the promises, we have to use our faith, and that faith is action on what we believe. Amen. Now, back to the scenario. The centurion told Jesus, "You do not have to come. Just speak a word." That's action. Jesus took action by speaking. He says, then he said, I am a man under authority, and I understand authority. The centurion understood authority. He said, speak the word, and I know my servant will be healed. The centurion recognized the authority that Jesus possessed when he spoke. Right? Now, let's go to the book of Psalm 107. The book Psalm 107. And let's put the icings on the top of this cake. Psalms 107. And we're going to read verse number 20. It says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction or from their sickness, diseases, etc. So we see here, he said he sent his word. So we also too, we can send our word by doing what? Speaking something. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Well, you know what? I'm just about out of time. But please join us next week when we continue our teaching on faith, our way of life. But until then, remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.